Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Cynthia Romer, is an inspirational, award-winning author who enjoys planting seeds of hope into the hearts of her readers. Raised in the cornfields of rural Illinois, she enjoys spinning tales set in the backdrop of the mid-1800s prairie and Civil War eras. Cynthia is the author of the Prairie Sky series and the more recent Wounded Hearts series. Her prayer is that her stories will both entertain and encourage readers in their faith. Cynthia writes from her family farm in central Illinois. Good morning, Cynthia. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Cynthia, it's such a joy to have you on the show. I think the first book I read of yours was the first book in your Prairie Sky series, and I just loved it. And ever since then, I've been following you, and I'm always excited when you have a new book come out. So it's a joy to have one of my favorite authors here with me today.
Well, I'm very honored by that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take us to the beginning of your childhood experiences and what influenced your desire to be a writer. Where did it all begin for you?
Well, you know, I don't know that I thought about it when I was real young. You know, I didn't always want to be a writer from the time I was weaned or anything. I didn't really think about it until I saw this show on PBS called My Brilliant Career, and it was about a teenage writer. She was published by the time she was 16. I thought that was so neat. You know, I like to write. You know, my cousins would come and we'd write plays and perform them for our parents, you know, and stuff like that. But I didn't really think about being a writer until I saw that, and I was just so inspired by that. And then also I had an English teacher in high school that really encouraged me in my writing, thought I had some potential, I guess I'm trying to say. And she wanted me to submit a couple. There was a neighboring college, a neighboring town college, they were offering a contest to high schoolers. And so when I was in junior in high school, I entered two short stories, and one of them didn't get anything, but the other one won first place. And I was, you know, that just boosted my excitement about writing. And so then when I went to college, I decided I wanted a degree in English and creative writing. And so that's kind of how it started.
Congratulations to you. I've always had a desire to write. And yeah, it was years later before I actually started doing anything about it. But I love to hear stories of, I love to hear how writers started out. Some of them, like you, will say, I really didn't think this was going to be a career for me. Others will talk about how they were writing stories on crayon on the wall when they were three. So it's kind of interesting to hear different people's backgrounds. So you are an award-winning novelist, Cynthia, but you have also written several articles and short stories. And some people start out, their first novel is their first work, and other people kind of lead up to their career with shorter work. So tell us, what kind of subjects do you like to address in your articles? What kind of magazines do you write for?
Well, actually, I did. The novel was my first love. That's what I wanted, to write a novel. And I did in my college years. But when it didn't really take off, didn't go anywhere, and I didn't know what I was doing at that age, but I submitted it some and got some rejections and stuff. And then I got married, and, you know, I met a fella, and we married, and then we had a couple of boys, and I didn't have time to think about becoming a novelist, you know, working on that and everything. So I started writing, I had my first short story published while I was in college. So I started back then with the short stories in Christian publications. My aunt actually gave me Sunshine Magazine, was what it was called, the first thing I had printed, a short story. And I don't think there are any area in print anymore, but she lived in Rolla, Missouri, and I was down there, and she said, you got to submit to that. And so I did, you know, and I prayed. I'm like, God, I need some encouragement. You know, I had I didn't know what I was doing with the novel. I was getting rejections, and so I'm like, I need some encouragement to see if this is really what you want me to do. And it got accepted. You know, the first thing I sent got accepted, and so that was really encouraging to me. And so basically, it was called Sightless Vision, and it was about a lady that was so in a hurry, you know, with her life and everything, and she gets on this bus and meets this blind lady, and how that impacted her life, you know, and how she needed to slow down and enjoy life and enjoy the life God had given her. So that's the kind of inspirational stories that I like to write. I like to put a lot of character growth in my stories. I also I don't really do the shorter stuff anymore since I've gotten so involved in the novels now. So those were kind of the years that I did. And plus also, a lot of the publications I wrote for are no longer in existence. They've either gone online or changed or something. But I've written for like David C. Cook, Focus on the Family, and teen and adult Sunday school papers and weekly Sunday school papers and monthly things. And just basically either short stories or inspirational articles. I've written about marriage and in-laws and, you know, just anything that can help people further their faith.
Well, it sounds like you have really shared a lot with a lot of people through your magazine writing, Cynthia. Your novels are set, this is my favorite time period too. I just love the 1800s or 19th century stories. I'm fascinated with the old West, grew up on Westerns, which is probably the reason I love your book so well. So what do you find particularly intriguing about that era in history?
Well, like you, I just really, there's so much heroic in that era. I don't know, it's the pioneering spirits and nostalgia and their sense of adventure, and it was a time of great discovery, and there's just a lot of rich history to draw from in that era. Now, I'll talk about this probably later, but my first Prairie Sky series, I didn't have a lot of history, actual history involved in them, but my Wounded Heart series, the Civil War era, really has a lot of history involved, a lot of research. So
yes.
I just love the people and the times. It just fascinates me.
And I think, too, Cynthia, looking back, there was those people relied so heavily on their faith.
Right.
They experienced a lot of tragedy. They experienced a lot of hardship. They had to build character in order to survive. And granted, I don't know that I would want to have lived back in those days, because we've got it so easy now. But I do think about how I think that character was much stronger back then, because people had to rely on their own resources and on their faith to be able to get by, you know. So I think that's what fascinates me so much about that era. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I certainly understand. Well, your passion is to plant seeds. I love this. You plant seeds of hope in the hearts of your readers, and it just so happens that you live on a family farm. I love that analogy. So how do lessons that you have learned on the family farm help you achieve the goal of planting seeds of hope in the hearts of your readers?
I have always lived on a farm. Growing up, my dad had a hobby farm. We didn't grow grain or anything. We had animals, but I married a farmer. So that introduced me to planting seeds and seeing how God grows those seeds and multiplies one seed into many. And I just like that analogy. You know, that just fit me because of my background. And I want to do that with people. I want them to see, you know, that they may just be have a small seed of hope. And hope is so important. I have been dealing with cancer the last 2.5 years. I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer in 2020, October 2020, and then went through a year of treatment and was re-diagnosed with stage 4 just last September. And so I have really had to learn what hope is, because I didn't know, you know, stage 4, I didn't know whether I would even be here now. So
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so thankful for all God has done in allowing me to, but I just want to plant seeds of hope in people's hearts, and that's what my, you know, that's the main, I feel like my writing is a ministry. That as my biggest ministry is my writing. I don't write to entertain, even though I hope my stories are entertaining. That's not my goal. My goal is to touch hearts and to show people that God can make something beautiful out of something broken. The story that just came out, Beyond Wounded Hearts, I mean, all my stories have some type of brokenness in them that God works out in through the story. That's my desire.
And you fit perfectly in with the premise of this show here, Cynthia, because like I have shared with you on Step Into the Light, I bring guests onto the show who have either been in a dark place, and you have with your cancer diagnosis, but also people who, through their writing, their ministry of other some other kind, whatever kind of creativity there is, music, art, whatever, lead others out of a dark place. So, see, you're my perfect guest today. Yes, your books, they take broken people, and we're going to talk about, of course, and I'm going to have you give us an overview of your stories. But first, we'll take a break, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is award-winning novelist Cynthia Romer. Cynthia is the author of the Prairie Sky series and the Wounded Hearts series. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That is spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. Cynthia, go ahead and give us an overview of your Prairie Sky series and then your latest Wounded Hearts series.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how in-depth you wanted me to go, but my Prairie Sky series is set mainly in central Illinois, which is where I grew up. So they said, write what you know. So that's where I started. And set in the 1850s. Becky Hollister is the heroine of Under the Same Sky. And that's a story I wrote way back when in my college days. But then I had to totally rewrite it.
Of course, yeah.
Years later. Because writing had changed so much, they want you in the skin of the characters, you know, and I wound up taking a 50,000-word manuscript, and it became a 100,000-word manuscript by the time I was done rewriting. So right. Becky Hollister suffers a lot of loss through, there's a tornado that destroys her home and injures her father, and she finds, and all she's ever wanted was to, you know, marry and stay there and raise kids, you know, and all the, anyone, you know, who grows up and loves where they grow up. Well, then she finds herself taken away from all that, and she finds herself blaming God for all the that's happened. She loses loved ones, and then her father is blinded. And the basic gist of the story is, why does God allow bad things to happen to, you know, godly people? She doesn't understand that, and so through what happens, she works at a blind school where her dad is a student, and through that experience in helping the students and everything, God uses that to speak to her heart and draw her back to him.
Prairie Sky really drew me in because I think I shared with you after I read the book that my mom was legally blind all of her life, and she even went to the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind in New York City. So seeing having the blind character really resonated with me, and I think that was when I kind of got, in addition to the fact that it was a 19th century story, I think that really kind of got me hooked into you as a writer, because I thought you did such an excellent job with that whole scenario of the blindness, and you made it very real. So just wanted to throw that in there. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, book two in the series is Under Prairie Skies, and that's the story of Becky's cousin, Charlotte Stanton. You meet her in the first book, and she's a pretty spoiled, not so nice girl. And
yes, I remember that.
Some people have likened her to Nellie Olson, but she meets up with a fellow named Chad Avery, and he knows just how to draw out her orneriness and show her that she needs to change. The main verse for that one is, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Chad has a past as well that needs healing, and it's how God uses the two of them to make each other stronger in their faith and stronger people. Book three in the series, Under Moonlit Skies, is Charlotte's younger sister Esther's story. My main character was Stuart Brandt, known as Stu, and I named him after Jimmy Stewart because I really liked Jimmy Stewart and I kind of took some of his character and made him into Stu. You meet him in the second book, too. Esther's circumstances cause her to leave, and she has to separate from Stu. She had fallen in love with Stu, and he follows her out to Cincinnati, where Esther has gone with her mother to live. And there's a whole new thing involved with the pre-Civil War tensions out there. He gets involved in kind of a mystery to that one. I like to put a little mystery or intrigue in my novels. Stu has a very low opinion of himself, and it's how God works on his heart to let him know that it's not who he is, it's who Christ is that makes us valuable. And then my Wounded Heart series is set in the Civil War, and this one I ventured out to Maryland, Virginia, and New York. So a lot of research in these. First one, this is the Gallagher family, so totally separate from my Prairie Sky series.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Gallagher is my hero in book one, Beyond These War-Torn Lands. And we start out right in the thick of battle, and he is wounded and is found by a southern girl whose father is very staunch against Yankees, and
yes.
He takes her life in her hands by hiding him away, and they fall for each other. He's found out and has to leave and goes back, and he vows to come back for Caroline. They both go through a lot while they're apart from each other. Caroline gets involved in, she's sent away from home. Her father finds out and sends her away, and she goes to her aunt and uncle's. And that's where the intrigue and mystery comes in again. I'm not going to give that away, but
don't tell anymore.
She gets involved in the historical circumstances that her and Drew meet back up again, and there's a lot they have to work through. So that's Beyond These War-Torn Lands. And then the one I just wrote, Beyond Wounded Heart, is his brother Luke and Adelaide. And Adelaide has a real journey of the heart. She hates Yankees because they've destroyed her family, killed her father and brothers, and she finds herself wounded, and she blames God for all of it, kind of like Becky did. Luke is my David. He's a man after God's own heart, and he is determined to win her over.
Thank you for that overview, and yes, I loved all three of your, actually all five of your books, Cynthia. I think you are an excellent writer, and I have thoroughly enjoyed your stories, and I can't wait for the next one. Research.
Thank you.
Let's talk about research, which for some people is almost a horrible word. Tell us what your feelings are about research, and what is your favorite method? Do you do internet type stuff, or do you actually go to places and see what you want to write about?
I actually am one who loves research. In fact, I sometimes get caught up too much and don't get writing done that I need to get done because I'm researching, but my research really never stops. I do what I need to get started with the story, and then stuff always crops up as I'm writing, because I have a loose outline of kind of where I want to go with it, but I allow God to guide me along the way and my characters, and they sometimes take me in places I don't expect. And so I'm always doing research as I go, and I do both. I've gone places, like for Under Moonlit Skies. I didn't even know there was a First National Road, and it was in Vandalia, Illinois. So it was like 2 hours south of me, and there was a museum talking about it. So we went, my husband and I went down there and visited the museum for the First National Road. I used that in my third book, Under Moonlit Skies. I had plans to go out for Beyond These War-Torn Lands. I have a critique partner that lives out in Virginia, and she said, you can stay with me, and I live an hour from the Battle of Monocacy, which is one of the battles that I researched for, and
sure.
And I'm like, oh, I would love to do that. Well, then COVID hit, and my cancer hit, and so that didn't happen. So I still have dreams of doing that someday. But so I do some, you know, real, and then I just search and search online. I found some really neat sites. There was one house, and I won't tell you, but this was Beyond These War-Torn Lands. One of the historical figures' house, there's a virtual side that I could actually see inside the house, and I could describe
it neat.
In detail. So I thought that was so neat. There's another one that describes a journey of another historical figure that they had it. They talk about it. He just has it lined out perfectly. You know, it gave me such detail. And I think that's, you know, I've had people say, I feel like I was right there. And I think that's why, because the more historical, accurate detail you can put in your story, the more lifelike it becomes. It brings it to life.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. I know out here where I live, Cynthia, I'm right in the middle of Colorado history. I'm not in the mountains. I'm down here on the plains. We have Bentzold Ford out here, which is a historical trading place. They have like the blacksmith shop set up, and they have all kinds of fascinating stuff out there. And then we have Kit Carson lived here, and Camp Amachi, the Japanese internment camp, is within an hour's drive. And the Sand Creek, site of the Sand Creek Massacre is also about an hour or so drive. I think I would have a hard time, though, assimilating the facts into my stories. I have such admiration for people like you who can go do that research and then put it into a story. It's a true blessing to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's fun to insert your characters right in, you know, right into history. That's fun.
Yes. Yes, well, like, wasn't it one of your books where your character meets Abraham Lincoln or sees him or something, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, that was in my last book, Beyond Wounded Hearts, that
he saw
Abraham Lincoln.
You created a launch team for your novel releases. You've done that, I think, with all of your books. How effective do you find that strategy?
Oh, I love a launch team. I think just the last three books I've done it, because my first book, I had no following. I didn't know, you know, I was a newbie. Mm-hmm. As people read your work, they start looking for your next book, you know, and that's so encouraging. And I have people, I kind of handpick them from people who've really shown interest in my writing and I know will be an encouragement to me. And that is such an encouragement to have people that, you know, really believe in what you're doing and give you that encouragement. So, yeah, I would say it's wonderful to have people walk alongside you. You know, it's a lot better than, you know, my first one when I was kind of out there alone. And so, I just have a fairly small group. I don't have, like, some of the big publishers, they may have like 100 people, you know, mine's more like 20, 25, but it gives it a family feel. So
good. I do wonder, out of your 25 people, how many actually follow through and write the reviews and do the social media advertising and things. I know I'm not really good about it, so I was just curious to know, how much follow-through do you get?
Pretty good.
Good.
I would say 85-90% do something, you know, but of course there's those that really go the extra mile and are, you know, posting on social media and really backing, that's probably about 10% of them that are, you know, really involved. And I would say 90% of them actually at least post a review of some sort, you know. But a few of them, you know, I've noticed that there's not a lot of them that have, like, you have a podcast and a blog. That's pretty low percentage, only probably 10-15% actually have me as a guest.
Okay. Well, it kind of surprises me. I've been on your launch team and on a couple of others, and it seems that most people, and I guess it's understandable, most people focus on Amazon for reviews. I usually put reviews in 4 or 5 different places, and when I go to a different site, it's like there's only one review there. And I think, well, why didn't they just copy that review from Amazon and put it on these other ones too, you know? I'll go to like maybe Barnes & Noble or one of them, and it's like, well, gee, there's only one or two reviews here, and there's 25 on Amazon, and I just never understood why.
Well, yeah, and Amazon doesn't allow you to post until release day, so actually, you know, like Goodreads and BookBub, you can do it ahead of time. So there's really, I'm finding that people that post on those earlier ones forget to post on Amazon.
Anyway, I have thoroughly enjoyed being on your launch teams, Cynthia, and I want to thank you so much for that opportunity. So tell listeners, where can they find your books?
Basically, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any online. I don't know if Books A Million usually has them up. I don't usually have them at the bookstores, the Barnes & Noble bookstore, and so basically online. And if you can't find them, or there's always the libraries to recommend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of libraries will get them for you if they don't carry them. So tell your local library, you know, I'd like to read this book or this book, and a lot of times they'll order them. So that would be great.
Okay, and what's next for you? Do you have another book coming out in your Wounded Heart series?
I'm just now starting. I've been researching and starting to write a prologue right now, which I've never written a prologue, but this one is going to have one. So,
okay.
Yeah, book 3, and it's going to be called Beyond Shattered Dreams, unless something else fits it better, but that's the working title. And I actually have a Christmas novella. I've never done a novella before, but I have a Christmas novella coming out this October.
Oh, congratulations.
Beyond Shattered. Yeah, I don't know, Kelly Gosshorn, Candace West, and Elaine Cooper. I don't know if you are familiar with any of those authors, but the four of us put together a Christmas novella called Chiseled on the Heart. And
nice.
It takes the development of a nativity scene through 4 generations of Hawkins family. So it's pretty
nice.
Neat. We had fun putting it together. That comes out this October, and the following October 2024 is when my third book in my Wounded Heart series is slated to come out. Hopefully that
Very
will happen.
Good.
I don't know. I'm a slow writer, so.
Well, I figured that there was probably going to be a third book in that series. Well, Cynthia, is there anything else you'd like to share with us that you wish I had asked you and I didn't, or you're thinking, oh, gee, I'd really like to share this with listeners?
I appreciate you having me. I wanted to thank you for that. And if your listeners want to find me, they can look me up at CynthiaRomer.com and look. I've got a books page that better describes my books and about me and my ministry as a writer. So I welcome them to visit my site. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it, and for being a part of my launch team.
Well, thank you so much, Cynthia. May God continue to bless you with your writing endeavors and also with your battle with cancer. I'm sure that's something that you can use prayers for. So my prayers will definitely be sent up for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times,
Strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.